your best. So I welcome you. As I welcome the family of God here into the sanctuary, I thank you for your faithfulness to God, first and foremost. But I believe with everything that you have been through has been nothing more than a setup for you. A setup. Don't get detoured. Don't be listening to the lies of the enemy and negating the promises of God. Hold on. And hold on strong. Get your Bibles, if you would, and turn with me to Luke 7. Luke 7. Luke 7. I want to get in this thing, and then I want Daddy to go ahead and do what he wants to do. Luke 7, we'll begin reading in verse 36. Many of you know the story. Do not begin to preach this. Just listen. So many preachers in here, so many prophets in here. You start going off on your own tangent, what God is saying. Hold on, let God speak, and then you listen. Luke 7, 36 through verse 50. I'm going to read out of the New King James Version. I know we've been getting up and down, up and down, up and down. It's just to keep that circulation moving, all right? So if you would stand for the reading of God's word. Luke 7, 36, out of the New King James Version, reads in this wise. Then one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him. And he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at his feet behind him, weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed him with the fragrant oil. Now, when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner." And Jesus answered and said to him, I love this, God knows your thoughts. There was no question there in his thought, but Jesus answered him. He said, "Simon, I have something to say to you." So he said, "Teacher, say it." There was a creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. "Tell me, therefore, which of them would love him more?" Simon answered and said, "I suppose the one who forgave more." He said to him, "You have rightly judged." Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, he turned to the woman. Hold up. He turned to the woman and spoke to Simon. See, when Jesus wants to address those that are coming against you, he is going to turn to you and address the folks that are coming after you. Hallelujah. He says, "I'm turning to you and addressing the folks that are coming after you."
Yes, Lord.
Judging you. Trying to keep you bound. You see, when we get in that place, that's when Jesus says, "I know what you're going through. Let me turn to you." Woo. My God. He turned to the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman?" In other words, turn around and look at what I'm looking at. What you don't want to face. What you don't want in your home. What you don't want. But I'm telling you, I know who she is. It says here, "I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in." You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore, I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. Then he said to her, watch this. Now he's going to speak to her. Your sins are forgiven. And those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? Then he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Come on now. Lord, I thank you for the reading of your word. I thank you that we're challenged today by your word. I thank you that we're no longer a judgmental people. We're a people that express because we love much, been forgiven of much. God, we have a very costly fragrant, Father God, because it's what you have given us already. We thank you for your word, God. We thank you that it becomes part of us, Lord. God, we thank you for it now in Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children said amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Listen. He invited Jesus to his house to eat. Jesus comes in, sits down at the table with others. And then it says in the scripture that there was a woman, a sinner, who heard that Jesus was reclining at the table. So she goes into the house. Says it, the sinner, the woman, went into the house.
Oh, yeah.
Like she could just do what she wants. Walk into any house that she wants.
Oh, yeah.
Well, how did he know she was a... How is it she knows where the table is? How is it she knows where Jesus is in relation in the house? How is it she knows that house so well? How is it that she can walk into a house that is not hers, be in front of the one that's going to help her because she's been there before?
Hallelujah.
You see, there's going to be some circumstances in your life. In the place where you may have lost it. The place where you have sinned. May be the same place that God is going to come in and meet you and set you free.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, no. See, we have some folks in here that know how to read the word and get there. But we have some that are, what's he talking about?
Hallelujah.
So I'm going to. So the woman was in business. She had been in that house before.
Come on here, sir.
Collecting her money.
Come on, sir. Come on, sir.
Follow me, some of y'all?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So the Pharisee that should have known better. That should have known better to let someone like that to be coming into the house. Should have known better to say, hold up now, I got Jesus. I invited him. You ain't welcome here. But something tells me there was such a close relationship that maybe that we could get Jesus a part of this action. Oh, you don't want to hear it for real? Because there's some people that say, I know what I got in my house. See, you don't know what goes on in my house. Because when the doors are closed, this is my house. Let me see if I can get Jesus tripped up when he comes in here.
Hallelujah.
If I can present what I have. Is this too much? Is this? See, this is the Pharisee that has the word. That always uses the word to judge people. Say, oh no, Pastor, that was just so that Jesus set things up. No, it ain't. Jesus didn't set that up.
No.
The Pharisee did.
Yes, Lord.
He said, come and eat at my house. Jesus said, oh, we're gonna have some ribs. I'm there. I find it interesting that there was others at the table. How come they didn't say anything to the woman that came in?
That's right. Come on, yeah. Hallelujah. That's
yep. Did she come to collect?
Come on.
Oh, maybe she was the one that was scheduled to be there to begin with.
Yes, Lord.
Come on, sir. I got it, sir.
Maybe there was a knock at the door. I'm here. Y'all don't like this, do you? No, some of y'all don't like it because I can feel it already. I can feel it. I will help myself. Because too many church folks want to play around and say that it's all right to be sinning as long as you ask for forgiveness. That means you are not asking for forgiveness. You're asking for a pass. Church folk in here. Should have worn my collar. Maybe they would have respected me then. I thought about wearing a suit today. Maybe that's why I'm not getting respect. Because I'm not dressing the part. Maybe I'm not putting the words or doing everything that the church says it's supposed to be done in a certain order. But I find it very interesting that God moved when there was chaos and disorder. And he moved and he hovered over it. He says, that's my boy, that he needs a lot of help. And I'm going to be with him, having him do it my way. I said, Lord, I'm about ready to go some places that you are taking me. Not that man's taking me, that you're taking me. And when you take me there, God, I know that you're still with me there. And I'm going to come against every pharisaical person that has a mindset that says, what I do in private is private. I said, Lord, that's why we can't even have revival anymore. People want to call revival services. Plan it out. Already have the flyers made out. God told you he was going to show up when it was a revival? He told you? Did he tell you to go ahead and put it in the calendar for you? I wish he would. I wish he would tell me there'll be revival today. And I said, no, God. Because when revival happens, it's when a people are humbled. It's when a people know how to come right before God. It's when they take off their titles, take away their positions, and become naked before the Lord. Huh? I said, Lord. I don't expose myself too many times up there, God. He says, you better quit acting like you can't expose yourself no more. Because the moment you get to a place of notoriety, and when your best is yet to come, you're going to still expose yourself. You're going to remain naked before the people. I'm tired of having people look good, look the part, act like they know it all, but they don't even know me. I said, Lord. Oh, don't get me started. I'm trying to let you rest. See, there's so many people playing around with grace at the pulpit. That's scripture right there. Some of y'all read the scripture. Oh, that's the story about the woman with the alabaster box. She broke that box open and made everybody so upset. She was forgiven much. And God just said her sins are forgiven. She'd always be preached about. Let's talk about the Pharisees that we need to be preaching about. Let's talk about the ones that were in that room with Jesus that need to be talked about. They were the ones trying to trip Jesus up. They were the ones trying to get Jesus to follow suit with them. But Josh, I'm going to have you come over to the house and we're going to recline at the table. They ain't going to like it. But I'm going to just talk right here. Like, ain't nobody here. And then when you get to the house, we're going to sit down at the table. I got some other brothers. They're going to kick it with us. And I'm going to have the hooker come on over. So you ain't got nobody, though. It's all right. Just come on over. Because what's in my house stays in my house.
Come on,
man. So just come on over. And when she comes on in, it's your call, man. If you want to, cool, no problem. Well, we know her like that. She's a sinner anyhow because we know a lot about her. She's always here. She know everybody here anyhow.
Come on now. I don't hear you, though.
That's right.
Come on, sir.
That don't sit right with you?
No.
No, it don't sit right? It should never sit right with you when you go to someone's house and they want you to partake with their sin. And make you feel like it's okay to sit there and watch as they go on acting a fool. I said, Lord, if I have ever caused any one of your children to fall, take me home now. Take me home now. Because I don't want to keep doing that. He says, oh, that Pharisee? He says, he wanted it his way. So I made it a point to speak to him, acknowledging her. She didn't come to be seen. Bible says that she was behind him. Behind him. How many of us want to be seen?
Hallelujah.
Hey, Pastor, I preach for you. Hey, Pastor, I got a word, Keep it.
Hallelujah.
We're going to keep some donkeys in the back. In case God wants to speak, bring the donkey. Everybody got a word. Everybody got something, but their life ain't right. Ooh. I lost some of y'all. I know. I did. Lost some of y'all. No, Pastor, you're doing the prophetic class. We're all supposed to. Yeah, I'm going to teach you order. Teach you order. Walking outside the parking lot, prophesying to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Call him on the phone. I should have worn my glasses. Josh, you might want to go get my glasses, Josh, so I can see the eyes. Some of y'all are lucky because I can't see your eyes from here. This is a little bit too rough. It's a little bit too rough. Tough love is good love. Tough love is good love. Because as I say it unto you, it's said unto me. It's said unto me. Oh, Lord, ain't going to like it. Woo-wee. He says, I came into your house. You hadn't even given me a kiss. But since I've sat down, she has yet to stop kissing my feet.
Hallelujah.
That's right.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, Lord.
Hallelujah.
You see, we all want to have someone close to us to say, yeah, I know him.
Yep.
I know him. He was in my house, at my table, eating with me.
Hallelujah.
Finish the story. He also rebuked you.
That's right.
Ain't nobody want to tell the fact that they got rebuked.
That's right.
I said, Lord, we want revival in this nation? Okay, let's forget about the nation. Let's just forget about the nation. Let's just talk about revival in San Antonio. Can we just talk about that? Let's talk about revival in San Antonio. We can't even get pastors to confess.
Hallelujah.
We can't even get pastors to repent.
Right.
We can't even get people to submit under proper authority.
Hallelujah.
We can't even get people to even stand and pray.
That's right.
We can't even get intercessors to stay on their face until God says, get up.
Hallelujah.
We want revival. Oh, I feel my helper now. We want revival in San Antonio, but all we really want to do is pass all these kind of legislative laws that have not even been through the proper channels just because we want to make people like us.
Right.
Here's the truth of the matter is, we've got to keep holiness back in the church. We got to want people to say, you know what? I got to feel safe in the church that I go to. I got to feel safe that when I get there, there ain't nobody going to be judging me, but they're going to tell me how to change my ways. Teach me how to live a better life.
Yes. Yes.
But when I walk into church, it's like I've been walking into the club that I used to be at. Because when I sit there, I get people looking at me like they want to hook up with me. Everybody want to look for a Christian man or woman in church. We're going to hook up. We're going to hook up. The Lord says, you're my husband. The Lord says, you're my wife. Shut your mouth. Lord Jesus. Everybody getting into the church is trying to find themselves a spouse. This is my Boaz. Ain't your Boaz. That ain't your Boaz. You better take your lion someplace else. Because the church is not a place to hook up. The church is for you to come repent. Give your life to Christ. Get the word of God in you. Start walking out the very things that he has brought you out of. Out of. Out of. Not out and in, out and in, out and in. It's not a revolving door. When he brings you out, he shuts the door. If you open it, say hello to seven more demons. Say hello. Because they're sitting with you. Spirits. I didn't say the people. I didn't say people. Spirits, spirits, spirits. I said, Lord, this is something right here. She could have felt guilty. She could have felt guilty being in his presence. She could have had all of this guilt, had all of her shame. I don't belong. I don't belong. Out there I belong. I had the wherewithal to come into this house because I used to be here before. But I've never been in the presence of someone so holy. I'm not worthy to be in front of, so let me go behind you. And all I can do is bring what's of value to me. How many things has God revealed to you that he says, you got to bring it to me?
That's right.
You got to bring it to me.
Yes.
But you don't. Out of guilt and shame. Oh, I can't bring this to God. God doesn't. God won't. See, I didn't hear any excuses from her.
That's right.
She didn't make any excuses. She went directly to him. Matter of fact, she knew where he was because she'd been there before. So when she got to that table, she didn't go in front of. She went behind and began to do out of her heart. It's just begin to worship. Begin to cry on his feet. Wipe it with her hair. And then, that had been enough right there for me. The tears. Can you imagine that kind of tears? That kind of tears? That it has to be wiped with your hair? Oh, that's not that little crocodile tear. Oh, no, that's the one where you said, I have been forgiven of much. I have been through some stuff. I have been through some things that I know that all this is coming out. If it empties me all out, I got to get it all out. And then she wipes it with her hair. Why does he say that? Her hair. Why? Because for women. The hair. You can change, you can color, you can redo, you can fix to make you feel better. And it brings about her own splendor and her own glory. But she says, I don't even care no more about how I feel, how I look. This is never going to make me feel better. Being at your feet will. I'm going to let all this go, and I'm going to wipe it away. And it didn't stop there. Then he says, then the oil was poured.
Yes, right.
Perfume. Other gospels read it's the oxnard, the fragrant, expensive oil was poured on his feet. It says he turned. He turned, but still talking to Simon, he turned to her. See, when you start to give of yourself to him in true humility, oh, he'll turn to you. He will turn to you. But it's if you don't know how to humble yourself, he'll let you keep going through. She didn't make no excuses to be there. She knew what she wanted. I need to be at his feet. I need to be right there. All these other men, they know what they want. Because I know them too. I got to get right there. I got to get right there. I don't need to be sitting with him. I need to be right there. Matter of fact, I got to wash his feet. Not his hands, not his head, but his feet. His feet. His feet. Why his feet? Because it is his feet that came to her and delivered her of seven different demons previous. She remembered him when he came by and delivered her of the demons she had. So when she heard he was there, she says, I don't know about all you men in here. Y'all know me how I used to be. I'm not that person anymore. I am not that person because I had an encounter with Jesus. And my encounter has cost me something. And it cost me something enough to say, I'm not going to keep it no more. I'm going to get before my Savior and I'm going to just release everything I've got. See, some of the perfume and fragrance and the oil that's in you is going to irritate the hell out of these religious folks. It's going to irritate them so much. They're going to say, what is so special about you that he turns to you and he can speak to you?
What is that?
Gone through enough, baby. Enough. Don't let the devil try to take you back. You carry the oil inside of you. And at times it must be broken open so that it can come forth. It is in your brokenness that you will begin to see the glory of God in your life. It is in that humility that where he begins to even give you even more. And he addresses you to say, beloved, much, much how you have done in your life. He says, go. Your sins are forgiven. Forgiven. Once and for all. He's turning to you. And whatever help you need, he will be there for you.
Amen.
See, when you have an encounter with Jesus like that, nobody can ever take that away. Nobody. How many of you want an encounter with Jesus?
Huh?
No, I want a real encounter. Where he turns and says, Marty, everything. Everything you've been through. Everything. You've been carrying something very precious. It's my presence. You'll get around religious folks. They're not going to value you. But if you get around me more often than other folks, oh, the value increases. It increases. And so when it's broken and it's released, oh, it irritates so many people. So many people. Success starts coming your way. So does jealousy, envy, all kinds of lying and deceit comes your way. Don't be a partaker of it. Don't be prideful or haughty. Don't be arrogant. Humble, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God.
Hallelujah.
For in due season, he shall raise you up.
Yes, Lord.
He shall. She didn't give any excuses. How many of you know the story about the man, Pool of Bethesda? 38 years. 38 years. Water stirring by the angel of God. First one in there. First one. Get healed. For 38 years, you couldn't have the men that were bringing you there put you closer to the water. You couldn't ask for, you could have rolled over yourself to get closer to the waters. My question is, do you make excuses for your own inner healing? See, the man that was at the pool, Bethesda, Jesus walked up to him. And he didn't know who Jesus was. He said, you want to get better? You want to get healed? Yes, but when every time the waters get stirred, somebody gets in there before me. I got nobody to help me. Can you help me, sir? Can you help me, sir? Pick up your mat and walk. What you going to try to get in the pool for that you've been sitting next to for 38 years, but you haven't done nothing yourself to get it better? You just keep making excuses. Oh, Lord. This is just a little bit too much for y'all. This is a little bit too much for y'all. Because if I break this one down, y'all ain't going to like Pastor. Because here's the thing. See, when we go through and we have guilt and shame, and then we get our kids getting a little sideways on us, and then I don't know why they get that way. See, what happens with guilt and shame? See, there's a truth. There's a truth that God points out to you that has caused that. What you have done is rewritten the truth and made it more palatable for you. So here's the scenario. Your child gets sideways on you and you don't understand why, but you don't remember the time when they saw you shacking up with men left and right on the couch in the living room with different women, different men coming in all the time. And then you wonder, why are you so mad at me? Because you don't want to acknowledge the truth. You've been shacking up with all kinds of different men and your children looking at you like you a whore. Is this too much? Okay. Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm just going to tell it like it is because there's some religious folks in here saying, you know what, that's why I don't come back to this church because this man talks too much. He cusses too much. I'm telling you what it is. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you what it is. Here's what it is. Here's what it is. You want to go somewhere where you can hear the gospel of good news. To get your blessing and your house and your car and your lottery winning numbers and that your bank account will be overflowing so that you can have your Boaz and that you can have everything that God has promised you and then be on your way. But unless a real man or woman of God tell you truth to make you change your ways, then you'll stay in your mess and never get out of where you're at. Nobody likes to be told the truth anymore because they say, you offended me. If there's an offense in you, I've addressed the sin in you, then it's time to make change. If we don't make change, we can never get revival here. We need revival, but we need people to be repentant. To turn away from. Yes. Not go back to. Yes. Guilt keeps us from growing into our fullness. Yes. It is based on a lie that the enemy has kept a partial truth to. Let me explain that. You have heard the enemy lie to you based on a partial truth. Here's the partial truth. You were a sinner, but you hold that now as a sinner and guilt continues to follow you. Don't even go there, whoever this is. You're saying to yourself, but I'm not a sinner. I've already been born again. All my sins are covered. Hold up now. Until you deal and repent with that actual thing, you're carrying that with you. Amen. You know what repentance is? It's to come in agreement with Christ that it's there. Yes. So that it can be removed. Yes. But unless we agree with Christ that it's there, have you ever, look. When you counsel someone, the worst one to counsel are the people that never own their mistakes. Because you can't tell me, that's not me, I don't do that. That's not who I am, that used to be me, but you're doing exactly what you used to do the same way. You're just hiding it with the word. Ooh. I'm telling you, look, the enemy wants to keep you so bound that he'll let you believe that what you've done in your past is not what's in your future right now. What you've done in your past is not in your future right now. Why would he say that? Because he doesn't want you to get delivered. You see, have you ever really went and told the person that you hurt you're sorry? I mean, you know who you've hurt. And you really know how you did it, too. I mean, you really do. You can lie to God all you want. You can lie to everybody else all you want. You know the truth. The problem is when you go to apologize, you don't tell them really what the problem is. Mm-hmm. Let's take, for instance, the mother, remember I said, that was bringing in all the men to sleep around with in the home. And the children would witness it. So now, years later, they don't respect mom. But mom says, but I have never done anything. I've always given you shelter. I've always given you food. I've given you what you wanted. I've been a good mom to you. Do you understand that you haven't even owned the fact of what you did was wrong? Right. To your own children? I should have never done that. It has affected you. And that is my fault. The moment you take that ownership, what you have done to those children is taking off that guilt. And now you can go before God and says, I agree. Now let's deal with it. Yes. You understand?
Amen.
The enemy wants to keep us so bound. And that's why we have so many people saying, oh, we're going to have revival. We're going to have revival. We're not near it. We're not.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, for some of those that I feel revival is close. Jesus is close too. We don't know when. Can we feel the presence of God moving? Yeah. Is it stirring? Yes. Can we get the hearts begin to repent? Yes, we can. But we need God to move. Yes. But more importantly, God needs you to move.
Hallelujah.
Where does he need you to move to? At his feet.
That's right.
At his feet, repenting for what we've done. And accepting that responsibility, owning it and saying, I can't go on this way no more, God. I can't go on this way. Apologize for it. Apologize for the manipulation. Apologize for the control, the jealousy, the bitterness, the prideful, the stubbornness. Apologize to the ones that you have wounded. We've done a lot of things. The church has as a whole. And we think because of our position and our anointing that it's covered. That is not true. That is not true at all. For the prideful, he will humble. But the humble, he will raise up. So I'm waiting for God to move. And I told God that the other night. I'm waiting for you to move. He says, when are you going to move? When are you going to move, sir? Thought I was, God. So I've been getting delivered on a weekly basis. He says, you ain't through. Oh, we need to go through it. There's nothing wrong with it. And if you think that you got God, let me help you. He's got you. And he's got your number. He knows how you act. He knows who you've hurt. Oh, he knows how you kind of hid some things. He's going to make it a fact to reveal, to remove out, so that we can get ready for what he has for us. But I'm here to tell you, your best is yet to come. Your best is yet to come. See, through your tears and your pain, your worship, you reverence the Savior. You reverence the King. You reverence the Anointed One. The Son of the Living God. His name is Yeshua. Yeshua. When you get into His presence, He does reveal. You have to own it that it is you. I'm trying to help you. The Lord told us that in 2016 will be the year of the fruitfulness. Fruitfulness. The fruit will be displayed. He's doing it. See, we all got some good fruit. We got some bad fruit. We have got to display His fruit. His fruit. But we think because we know how to divide Scripture, we can put a sermon together and preach a sermon. We can make you feel good before you leave church. But what's going to happen the rest of the week when the challenges come? Are you equipped to fight the very thing that is coming your way? Especially if the fight is coming from within. Especially if it's that one thing that's been trying to come out, but you keep suppressing it. We have got to want to be delivered and set free from everything. It's when we stand there and say, I'm righteous because of you, God. True. But he wants to do a deep, deep uprooting for his people. For those of you that feel like, oh, I've gone through so much deliverance. Maybe I've been the one out there rolling around looking like a snake on the floor. Vomiting, doing all that myself. I've done that. I've been delivered that way. I've gone through the deliverance just crying right there with God. Been delivered sitting there watching my son enroll in an institution that I knew it was going to be great for him. And I got delivered of that of my own will. I got delivered of some things in different in ways that God said, I'm doing it for you this way for a reason. Do you understand? We have to understand that God wants to take us to a place that's far greater than we've ever, ever, ever been. As a church, as a whole, as the body of Christ. But we keep going back to our old ways. We keep reaching back to our old way that we used to do things. That's how it's going to happen again. No, it's not. The revival that broke out in Lakeland, Florida, ended so fast. So fast. Because what happened? Jealousy set in from amongst the generals. The generals of the faith. How can this man that has so many tattoos, that has a way with life, move in such great authority and great power? Because much has been forgiven. Much has been forgiven. We all got sin in our life. We all got something. But if you know God is so good, I need you to move through my life so I can bring kingdom here on earth. That's what he's asking for. That revival should have continued. But the religious leaders got involved and sat him down. When revival breaks loose, you can't stop it. You can't act like you understand it. Move out of the way. And let God be God. We try to put our minds around it. We got to let God be God. We're not God. And if he ain't going to use me for revival, use somebody. It doesn't matter. I will be right there worshiping. Hallelujah. Celebrating with the goodness of God in people's lives. I'm a part of it that way. Let me park hard for the people wherever they're coming. I'm a part of it. We don't have to be at the forefront. Maybe we're the ones handing out registration cards to those that gave their life to Christ. You're a part of revival. You're not always the one doing everything. Just be a part of it somewhere. We need God to come back into this area like never before. But we can't be at the forefront all the time. Be like the woman that said, I'll just be behind you, God. I don't have to be seen. Let my tears, be enough. Because I don't have everything. I don't know everything. Let me just be behind you, God. Let me be behind you. I don't have to be the one prophesying. I don't have to be the one declaring. I can be the one that just stands and say, God, I feel you. God, I feel you moving like never before. Let me stand behind you, God. Let me lay before you. Let me just get down and say, whatever you want me to do, I want to do. We can't do it like we used to do it. We can't continue the way we've been continuing on. We play church. We take God for granted. We do. The other night, Wednesday night, if you weren't here Wednesday night, boy, you missed it. You missed it. God began this thing with the inner healing. So strong. He says, I want to do an inner healing in the body of Christ. And I understand that we have some things that we got to work out. I understand that. I say, God, I want to be able to just move by the leading of your Spirit. And then as I follow you, Lord, it's like I just surrender unto your will. And I just lay back like if I was in the water and I just trust that the Holy Spirit has me. And he'll guide me. And I'll go with his flow. I won't stop along the way. I'll just let him take me. And when I get there, God, I still ask you, what do you want me to do? Because I don't know. It's when we think we know. We put our mind in the middle of things and we mess things up. I just feel that something is different. So I begin to ask God, let me hear. Let me hear for the people of God at a greater level. It's going to require much of me. But I can't stay like this. Prophecy is easy to prophesy to people. The spirit of prophecy moves on those that say yes. I'm willing. I'll say what you want me to say. I'll say it. That's for everyone. That's for everyone. Now, prophet hears for territories, the regions, officials, leadership, to speak, to make a change in the course, in the way the government's going, or how the church is being governed. Say, God, that's what I want. And I'm willing. If I have to sacrifice even more than I would, so be it. So be it. What do you want? The question came, what do you want? You want the material? You can't take it with you. You want your spirit to be filled? You want understanding? Some of y'all need understanding of your own dreams. Some of y'all need to have the understanding what he's doing in your life. There's so much confusion around you, baby. So much. You need to be held. But you're the one always being the strong one. And right now, you're the one that needs to be held. I need some help. I've been strong for others, but I need help. I've been the one always helping everybody else out. What about me? I encourage you. Let him just get in there. Let him get in there. trauma in your life. And it's carried over. It's carried over. Just let him get in. He's a good God. He'll work that out. He will. And you won't always have to be the strong one for everyone. There's so much weight on you. So much. God, I have to do so much. I gotta. Man, I just see your arms so tired. So tired. Your heart at times gets broken, let down. I encourage you. If you've never worshiped Jesus like that woman in the Bible, experience it. Find a way. Find a place wherever you're at. It may be in your car. It may be on a walk. It may be in your own home. Wherever the case may be, just worship. Just worship. You'll find strength. You will. He'll give you that strength. Right now, you're even your body is tired. You're physically tired. Physically. Mentally, I'm not saying you checked out, but I'm just saying mentally, he's like, wow, I'm mentally exhausted. I need some help. I need some help. Can someone just listen to me without trying to be the solution? Just listen to it. No one wants to really give you an ear. They want to tell you what you're supposed to do. You'll listen. You'll listen. So I encourage you. Just get there. If you would just stand to your feet, please, as we close.